Welcome to Rev Up, a podcast series focusing on the people and issues driving the fast-paced automotive mobility industry. With a view on the future of mobility, the discussions on Rev Up will offer insights on the realistic and the futuristic in this evolving industry. I'm Amy Kottman, and you're listening to Baker Hosts. On today's episode of Rev Up, our host, Ashley Hess, a partner and co-leader of Baker Hostetler's Automotive Mobility Industry Team, is discussing artificial intelligence and questions business owners, CEOs, and managers should have top of mind as artificial intelligence improves and drives the fourth industrial revolution. Ashley is joined by Baker Hostetler partner, Teresa Weisenberger, co-leader of Baker Hostetler's Artificial Intelligence, or AI, practice. Let's listen to Rev Up, where the rubber meets the law.
Welcome to Rev Up, our podcast focusing on the automotive and mobility industry. My guest today is Teresa Weisenberger, a partner at Baker Hostetler, who co-leads Baker Hostetler's artificial intelligence team and is the co-lead of Baker Hostetler's IP and technology transactions and outsourcing team. Today, Teresa and I kick off a conversation about artificial intelligence. Artificial intelligence is one of the buzzwords of the day, and there is no doubt the use cases for AI are abundant and the potential is very exciting. As is often the case with technology, it's important to understand the difference between the hype versus the reality, what's real and what's not, and that's where we start. Teresa is quick to point out that most of us are already using AI in our lives and have been. If you have a manufacturing business, you have artificial intelligence built into much of the equipment you use and probably interact with AI technology on a daily basis. Teresa and I talk about topics that should be top of mind for business owners and CEOs. Does your organization have a policy for using AI technologies? Do you need one? Are there risks to using AI in the workplace that create dangers to your business? If so, how do you mitigate that risk? Most importantly, Teresa notes that the time to have a plan of action for using artificial intelligence is now. For business owners and CEOs, they should consider the approach to AI like the game of hide and seek that we played as children. There is a time for planning and thoughtful preparation. Then, ready or not, here AI comes. Let's get started with Rev Up, where the rubber meets the law.
Teresa, welcome and thank you for being my guest.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, I've asked you to be on the show a few times over the last few months. I know you've been very busy, but I am excited to have you. Why don't you start by just introducing yourself and telling our listeners a little more about your background and your practice?
Sure. So I have a background in electrical engineering and robotics, and I started off my legal practice as a patent attorney. Now my practice has shifted over the years. I'm a partner at Baker Hostetler in our Atlanta office, and I co-lead our IP and tech transactions group, and I also co-lead our cross-practice AI group. So a lot of my focus today is on helping clients figure out strategy around building or using AI technology, and then actually helping them implement the legal framework to do that.
So I have to ask, when you were studying robotics in college, did you ever think that this would be your job one day?
Absolutely not. Now, in case the EE degree didn't already give it away, I was already a nerd back then. I wanted to be a patent attorney before I went to college. So that was my path. But I did not expect it to take this route. I couldn't have foreseen ChatGPT back then.
Yeah, I can only imagine. I will tell you, I'm sure your children think that your job is much cooler than mine is when you tell them that you do work in the AI area and anything robotics. That's always more exciting than when my children just have to listen to me talk about the fact that I negotiate contracts all day.
That is true.
So this is actually a good area to start with. And I know this is an important topic. It's a topic that everyone is dealing with. But I do sometimes wonder, is there a bit of hype here? Or is AI being overhyped in terms of how it's going to impact industry, how it's going to be used? Certainly, it can be overhyped in terms of are robots and machines going to displace humans and it's going to drive unemployment, etc. But maybe we start there and I just ask you, what's real and what's not in this area?
It's a good question. I do think that, especially 2 years ago, the way we talked about AI was really disconnected from the reality of the capabilities of its technology. So when ChatGPT came on the market and everybody started talking about AI that wasn't already talking about it, it was messaged as the solution to all of our problems. That this technology was incredibly powerful and incredibly sophisticated, and we could use it in every possible application there is. I hope that will be true eventually. I don't think that's where the technology is right now. And the employment question is a good one. We have gone back and forth in different industries, see AI either as a boon or a threat. We have gone back and forth on what that looks like. And the best analogy I can come up with is just when you look at like other like giant leaps in technology, the way manufacturing changed so much and simplified it, people got different types of jobs, right? There were new opportunities available when we started having more efficient manufacturing processes. And I think that's going to be true here. I think it will probably change a lot of people's jobs, but hopefully also create more opportunities.
Yeah. So is this another of the whip and buggy moments in the automotive industry?
I definitely think that's the case. Okay. It's funny. So I live in Georgia and there's a small town here, Barnesville, that they bet against the Model T back in the day, and they put all their emphasis, all their focus on the wagons. That didn't pay off for them. So I do think that's where we are now. And I think that the automotive industry does recognize that we can't just ignore this technology, that if we do, we're going to be left behind. But the real trick is trying to figure out how and when do we adopt that technology.
Yeah. So as we dive in here, we've used the buzzwords, artificial intelligence and AI, but maybe we take a few minutes here at the beginning and talk to the listeners a little bit about what it is that we are referring to, what artificial intelligence means, and you just distill down in simple terms what it is that artificial intelligence actually is in terms of the data and how it's utilized.
That's a good question. So artificial intelligence technology is older than I am. It's just that the level of sophistication has changed over the years. So when people talk about artificial intelligence, it's not always clear what type of technology they're talking about. When we start talking a little bit later about contracting issues, this does become a very important point. But just from talking about it in common parlance, AI breaks down into a few different subsets, with machine learning technology is a subset of AI. And the basic definition of the machine learning is that you have an algorithm or some type of process that, as it continues to work, adapts based on feedback that it's getting in some form or fashion. I think a good example of machine learning is like in the data analytics space, where you're looking at analyzing data and reaching some type of conclusion based off of that data. The next step of AI technology is predictive analytics. And that's where, based on the data that you have and the way the AI technology works, you can predict future activity based off of past data. And that becomes useful in a lot of contexts for the automotive industry, like predictive maintenance. Then you get into automated decision-making. They could help make processes more efficient. We talk about this a lot in the context of talent and recruiting. Automated decision making can be used to help filter resumes or identify candidates. There are regulatory issues with that, but from a technology perspective, that's one application. And then you get into the generative AI. And a lot of times these days, when people talk about AI, what they're really referring to is generative AI. And this is where, in response to some type of prompt, the tool is designed to actually create new content. So instead of analyzing existing content or making a decision based on existing content, the goal is actually, through pattern recognition and the consumption of a ton of content, that the generative AI tool, quote unquote, learns how to make new text or new images based off of the prompts that it's getting from the end user.
Yeah. And I think you're right. I think Gen AI has been the real spark here. It's exciting. We hear about different uses and test cases for it as a real game changer. And I agree with you. I think that's what people really think of. And so if we dive into that area, let's talk a little bit about what is driving the generative AI movement. Like, why has there been this large step over the last couple of years in this particular area?
It's a good question. I think I would go back to just the rhetoric around ChatGPT when it was first launched to the public. So then the public had some type of language they could use to talk about AI. And it's a lot more interesting for people to talk about the possibilities that come with creating new content versus data analytics, which doesn't tend to be a hot topic among the general public. Yeah. And I think that you also saw a lot of investment from a lot of the big tech companies who had recognized, obviously, before that, the possibilities of this technology. And I do think it just hit this crescendo around 2022, 2023, and has just continued to build.
Yeah. And just briefly, again, as more background for the listener, what is a large language model? What does that mean?
So a large language model is an imprecise term, which tends to happen a lot in the AI context, but it's referring to a foundation model, which is a giant model that's trained on almost all of the data you can get your hands on to create this general purpose tool. This tool can be specialized or customized for different use cases, but at the heart of it, you have two different types of like big foundation models that we're talking about in the context of the technology today. And the first one is text generation or natural language processing technology. And so, again, like going back to the pattern recognition, these are the models that allow the computer to recognize patterns in language and the way we communicate, and then use that to both interpret inputs and then to generate outputs. And the second type of foundation model that we talk about a lot today is the text to image generation. And with this type of tool, it's a similar concept, except that in addition to being trained on text, the foundation model also is trained on content data. And they're called foundation models for a reason. These are what underlie so many of the different applications. And so once you have that foundation, then the real value, I think, is going to be for the different AI providers and the different users, is how you customize that and create a more special or sophisticated tool geared towards a particular use case.
Okay. So let's dive in now. And let's say that I am a general counsel of a manufacturing company. It could be an automotive company that actually makes vehicles. Could be a supplier of parts and components in the supply chain, or I'm the president of one of these companies. What needs to be on my radar? What do I need to be thinking about in terms of how AI is used in my company? Do I need policies to guide my employees? What do I need to be thinking about? What needs to be on my radar in terms of how AI is used?
So the first thing I always tell clients is that we have to make sure that we don't treat AI as a solution in search of a problem and just look for opportunities to inject AI throughout your organization. It is a powerful tool. It's not always the right tool. And we really want to avoid implementing AI technology for the sake of implementing AI technology. So the second thing I tell clients is, and most clients already know this, is you're already using some type of AI technology, particularly in the manufacturing context, right? You have automated processes throughout that whole process. So you have to recognize like the different types of AI and that there are different types of risks that go with each of those, and figure out how to kind of cabin those risks and message the way certain technology will be implemented within your organization. So I keep going back to ChatGPT. This is the common example that clients come to us asking about simply because it is popular among the general public. But the limitations and the risks and the capabilities of the technology is going to depend greatly on what that technology is and how you're using it. And so at some point, as the president or CEO, you would want your organization to have a pretty clear understanding of where AI is implemented in your organization, in processes for monitoring that AI technology and educating your employees on how to use that. And then also figuring out how to assess new AI technologies that are coming through the process. So it's just it's a step above the vendor risk assessment that you already see with software solutions that are adopted by manufacturers or other clients.
And are you advising clients that they should have written policies with regard to the use of AI in the organization?
Yes. Now, it can be very overwhelming, and we don't want our clients to suffer from decision paralysis. So we generally start with a high level AI policy that looks a lot like some of the other policies that we give to employees on acceptable use or anti-discrimination, which is basically saying we have a process for evaluating and implementing AI technology in our organization, that it is methodical, and that we recognize the opportunities, we recognize the risks, and then we give basic principles for how that organization is going to approach AI. Generally, that includes statements like, we will make sure that the use of AI doesn't compromise the confidentiality of our data or our clients' data, and that we recognize the human oversight role that might need to be played for a lot of the different AI applications. And then finally, a lot of just using AI in line with the organization's values and in compliance with law. So this is a high level policy that just draws a line in the sand for where you're going to actually start with thinking more proactively about the AI technology. The next step is that we talk to the organization about setting up some type of AI steering committee or AI oversight committee that is tasked with actually monitoring and approving AI technology and AI use cases, depending on the size of the organization, depending on how much bandwidth you have. That committee can have a variety of different members on it. At the basic, you want a representative from legal, from finance, because they're the ones that are going to be paying for this, from business operations at some point, and then HR, and of course, IT, because they can help evaluate the efficacy of these tools. When you have a larger organization, you can actually include different subject matter experts within those subsets. So there will never be what we call an AI attorney. Nobody practices AI law. It's a new use case that intersects with all of the different areas of law. So it's important to have feedback from your labor and employment attorneys, for example, if you're using it in the HR context, and from your IP attorneys and data security, because it's going to affect the operations differently depending on the use cases. And you need people with that subject matter expertise to recognize the issues that are going to come up, that I, as an IP attorney, am not the best suited to identify employment risks that come with using AI technology.
All right, Teresa, let's pause the discussion here and pick this up next month with some of the issues you're seeing in practice, as well as best practices for handling those issues. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me, and I'll be happy to come back.
Thank you, Ashley and Teresa. If you have any questions for Ashley or Teresa, their contact information is in the show notes. As always, thanks for listening to Baker Hosts. Comments heard on Baker Hosts are for informational purposes and should not be construed as legal advice regarding any specific facts or circumstances. Listeners should not act upon the information provided on Baker Hosts without first consulting with a lawyer directly. The opinions expressed on Baker Hosts are those of participants appearing on the program and do not necessarily reflect those of the firm. For more information about our practices and experience, please visit bakerlaw.com.